So now we're going to hear a little bit about Lord Shiva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Shiram yata dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pritag asti heto yak shambhutam apitata samupaiti karyat govindam adi purusham tamahang bhajami. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither the same as nor different from its cause, that being milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So here are some nice statements that I found in Srimad Bhagavatam to help us appreciate the greatness of Lord Shiva. And Krishna Kumar, we need a bigger house. Yes, this is, I think, the biggest program we've ever had here. This is very nice. Oh, is that what? Okay. All right, so here's from the fourth canto. Maitreya is speaking to Vidura. He says, Lord Shiva, the deliverer of the hill Kailas, having thus been addressed by his dear wife Sati, replied smilingly, although at the same time he remembered the malicious, heart-piercing speeches delivered by Daksha before the guardians of the universal affairs. So here is Lord Shiva. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind and thus loses his or her good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personality. So this immediately reminds me of Lord Chaitanya's third Shikshastakam verse. Trinadavi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Lord Chaitanya reminds us to constantly remember to be meek and humble. Let us continue. This is Lord Shiva addressing his wife. If one is hurt by the arrows of an enemy, one is not as aggrieved as when cut by the unkind words of a relative, for such grief continues to rend one's heart day and night. Lord Shiva continues, one who is conducted by false ego, and it was thus always distressed, both mentally and sensually, cannot tolerate the opulence of self-realized persons, being unable to rise to the standard of self-realization. One envies such persons as much as demons envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are elevated to the transcendental platform, being intelligent, offer respects to the Supersoul who is sitting within the body, not to the person who identifies with that body. And then he says, this is the last one of this section, I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, everyone, is revealed without any covering. So we were speaking about this earlier. The Lord reveals himself to the devotee. So we'll stop there. I see we have some nice chanters. So we're going to have some chanters. And in between the chanters, I will read more about the glories of Lord Shiva. Okay? So, Radha Krishna Das, can you please sing one nice bhajan? No, I called you. I'm going to, yes, you go. I know who's here. So now, the next part from Srimad Bhagavatam that I'd like to read is Sati speaking to her father. This is the same incident. There was a sacrifice and Daksha was appointed the leader of the sacrifice by Lord Brahma. And when Daksha walked into the sacrificial arena, everybody stood up to offer respects. Lord Shiva, however, was in trance, samadhi, and he didn't stand up to receive Daksha. Circumstantially, Daksha was the father-in-law of Lord Shiva, because Sati was his favorite daughter, and she is the wife of Lord Shiva. Daksha had been waiting, actually, for an opportunity like this, because he didn't like the fact that his daughter was married to Lord Shiva. He only did it because Lord Brahma made him do it. And he didn't like Lord Shiva because Daksha was a very aristocratic Brahmin. And you all know Lord Shiva does not look very aristocratic externally. So when Daksha saw that Shiva did not stand up to receive his father-in-law, Daksha took the opportunity to criticize and blaspheme Lord Shiva in front of the entire assembly. Somehow or other, Shiva must have woken up from his trance. But he did not say one word in defiance. He just let Daksha go on and on. He didn't say one word. And there were, Lord Shiva's followers were getting very angry. And before there was an actual fight, Lord Shiva left the arena. But it is very interesting that while he was being blasphemed, Lord Shiva remained silent. So, the section that I read previous is when Sati is having a conversation with her husband, Lord Shiva. And in that conversation, Sati wants to go visit her father because there's another sacrifice. And she looks out a window and sees all the demigoddesses are flying in their airplanes, dressed very luxuriantly, going to her father's house for the sacrifice. She wasn't invited. But she reasoned, well, I'm his daughter. I don't need an invitation. I can go. But Lord Shiva says, I don't think it's a good idea that you go. Your father does not like me. And that's why it was mentioned that when you get piercing words from a relative, that hurts more than an arrow from your enemy. So Shiva was warning her, and he even said that when you get a verbal insult from a relative, that's like death. In other words, Shiva was predicting, he could foretell. And Sati was so undecided, she was walking in and out of the room, her mind, because her husband is telling her not to go, but she wants to go, so she goes. And when she goes, she tells her father on his face, and this is some of the things that she said to her father. Lord Shiva is the most beloved of all living entities. He has no rival. No one is very dear to him, and no one is his enemy. No one but you could be envious of such a universal being. Lord Shiva is free from all enmity, twice born Daksha. But a man like you can simply find fault in the quality of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no faults with other qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. It is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities. My dear father, you are committing the greatest offense by envying Lord Shiva, whose very name, consisting of two syllables, Shiva, purifies one of all sinful activities. His order is never neglected. Lord Shiva is always pure, and no one but you envies him. You are envious of Lord Shiva, who is the friend of all living entities within the three worlds. For the common man, he fulfills all desires. And because of their engagement in thinking of his lotus feet, he also blesses higher personalities who are seeking after transcendental bliss. Lord Shiva associates with the demons in the crematorium. His locks of hair are scattered all over his body. He is garlanded with human skulls, and he is smeared with ashes from the crematorium. But in spite of all these inauspicious qualities, great personalities like Lord Brahma honor him by accepting the flowers offered to his lotus feet and placing them with great respect on their heads. All right, we will stop there and we'll hear more about Lord Shiva from Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's hear some more about Lord Shiva. This is from the fourth canto. Maitreya is instructing Vidura. He says, the Prachetas were fortunate to see Lord Shiva, the chief of the demigods. He was emerging from the water with his associates. His bodily luster was just like molten gold. His throat was bluish, and he had three eyes, which looked very mercifully upon his devotees. He was accompanied by many musicians who were glorifying him. As soon as the Prachetas saw Lord Shiva, they immediately offered their obeisances in great amazement and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva became very pleased with the Prachetas, because generally Lord Shiva is the protector of pious persons and persons of gentle behavior. Lord Shiva said, any person who is surrendered to Krishna, the controller of everything, the controller of material nature, as well as the controller of the living entity, such a person who is surrendered to Krishna is actually very dear to me. So that's very, very nice. You want the blessings of Lord Shiva? Surrender to Krishna. What is that famous verse from Bhagavad Gita? Kamlesh? Very good. And Ma Suchaha, don't hesitate. Don't worry. Don't fear. Let us continue. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Lord Brahma. There you go. Anybody want to be Lord Brahma? This is how you do it. Occupational duty for 100 births. If one becomes more qualified, he can approach me, Lord Shiva. But you cannot become. You can become Lord Brahma. But sorry, you cannot become Lord Shiva. But a person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. You Prachetas are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. So this is significant. Someone may have some doubt. Why are we chanting Lord Shiva? Why are we? Here's why. As he said here, the devotees, right? He said, what did he say? I appreciate that you, he was talking to the Prachetas. The Prachetas are devotees of Lord Narayan. So Shiva is saying, I appreciate that you, Prachetas, are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the devotees respect me. So we also give, we don't misunderstand, but we give. That's why in the 12th canto, one of the last verses, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Don't we chant Vanja Kalpatarubyascha Kripasandubyaye Bacha Patidanang Bhavanevyo Vaishnave? We give respect to all the Vaishnavas. And Lord Shiva is the greatest. Do you want to hear more about Lord Shiva? Yes, Prabhu? What's that? Did Prabhu? I don't know. No, a devotee of Krishna goes to Krishna. Oh, to visit. Well, we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, he would enter the Vishwanath temple, it's a temple of Lord Shiva, and pay his obeisances. So there's no, I'm pretty sure, there's, Prabhupada will mentions it, there's no harm if we go to a temple of Lord Shiva, provided we have that understanding of that first verse we chanted from the Brahma Sanhita. Make sense? I don't know if he did. Do you know that he did or not?
Okay. That's all right. But I do know for a fact. It's in the shade. Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Benares, visited the Vishwanath temple and offered his obeisances to Lord Shiva as Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu. Yes. And Parvati. Yes. Dressed as Brahmins. Yes. Good. Yes. Go ahead. Who is he being compared to? Somebody asked me this question just yesterday. I would have to say, most likely, because I can't say for sure, most likely in terms of, in respect to the other demigods who are also followers of Lord Vishnu. What would you say? Because I'm sure you asked this question just to see what I would say. Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Hey, I only know what Prabhupada writes in his book. I don't know anything. Okay, can we hear more about Lord Shiva? Oh, another hand is raised. He's the king. Indra is the king of the demigods. Okay? Yes, we got a lot of questions. Go ahead. I do not know enough from Prabhupada's books to definitively explain the difference between Sadashiva and Shiva. Oh, Sadashiva, I believe, is considered Vishnu Tattva. As I said. Okay. Can we read more from Bhagavatam? Jai. Thank you. So this is from fourth canto. Maitreya again is speaking to Vidura. And at this point in the narration, Lord Shiva is instructing the Prachetas in the Shiva Gita. The Shiva Gita is a section in the fourth canto. Big, many verses, a few dozen verses, glorifying Lord Narayana. So here is just a few excerpts. Out of his causeless mercy, the exalted person, Lord Shiva, a great devotee of Lord Narayana, everyone say, continued to speak to the king's sons, Prachetas, who were standing with folded hands, teaching them his Gita. So here's how Lord Shiva is teaching. My dear Lord, I wish to see you exactly in the form that your very dear devotees worship. You have many other forms, but I wish to see your form that is especially liked by the devotees. In our Bhagavad Gita class earlier, Arjuna wanted to see the universal form. So Krishna has many forms. Please be merciful upon me and show me that form. For only that form worshipped by the devotees can perfectly satisfy all the demands of the senses. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, and etc. We also studied that in our Bhagavad Gita class, that Krishna is not revealed to someone's blunt material senses. But when the senses are purified by devotional service, then Krishna reveals himself. You should always remember that Krishna will reveal himself. And there's a section in the first canto where Prabhupada is mentioning that Krishna will reveal himself only when he is good and ready. You cannot say to Krishna, I gave $1 million to ISKCON. I distributed 1 million books. I did Aubrey Ekadasi. How come you not show it, Krishna? When he's good and ready, then only. You cannot, you know, there's no contract. You can do things for hundreds of lifetimes. If Krishna doesn't want, it's not going to happen. So again, what does Lord Chaitanya remind us? Just be meek and humble. Because it is by that humility, that's what wins over Krishna. All right. I would like to hear the chanting from the fifth canto, and then we will have Arti and Kirtan. So at this point, Shukadeva Goswami now is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. In the tract of land known as Ilavrita Varsha, the only male person is Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, she immediately turns him into a woman. And that actually happened in the ninth canto. King Sadyumna, by accident, entered that forest with his entourage. And all the soldiers and the king were turned into women. And all the male horses were turned into female horses. So, what happened was, the curse was modified. So when the king went back, 1 month he would be a man, and 1 month he would be a woman. So the citizens had a problem every other month. Jeez. Okay, let's continue. Well, if you're the king, I would think that's a curse. Right? If you're a king, you want to be king. You don't want to... Yeah. In that sense only. Right? There, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord, composed of, please repeat, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarshan. Sankarshan, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental. But because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, everyone say. The Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarshan is the original cause of his own existence. Thus, he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantras. So, it's not all of them. This is just a couple of them. So, here's the mantra that Lord Shiva chants. From that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma's body is made from the total material energy, the reservoir of intelligence, predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born as a representation of false ego known as Rudra. And by my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is greater than any of us and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements and senses, and even Lord Brahma and I myself are like birds bound by a rope. He continues, we cannot control the force of our anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction or repulsion for them. But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and destroying it, he is not affected even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses must take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one will be victorious. Savadaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papyevyo Okshayashami. Okay.